Fat Life.
Why don't you play the tune, pal? I don't like music.
Supposed to be, don't like no aborigine. Took a trip in Power Square, pop star died as hell. No fans are screaming, shouting, monsters came to flush him out. Gangland's laying on the ground, new identity must be found. On the left hand for a while, insanity, bohemian style. Dressed like Little Red Riding Hood, bad habit, taking life, a calling card, a six-inch knife, ran off really fast, mumbled something about the past, best sex I've ever seen, as if each moment was a loss, drops of blood, color side, funeral for his bride, but it's him who's really dead, gets to take the funeral.
Scratch my head and wonder why time slides into time across an actual dateline. Scientist eats bubblegum, Hall of Fame baseball, senators a hoodlum, big chiefs in a hall.
The circumference of a circle is about 3 times its diameter, and pi represents that number.
Greetings, Edophiles. It's Pi Day, 14th of March, 3.14. On this day in 2019, Google announced that its employee Emma Haruka Iwao had broken the world record for calculating pi to 31.4 trillion decimal places. Appropriately enough, on Pi Day, using Google Cloud computers. What, pointless? Probably. What's the point? Happy birthday, Albert Einstein. He's 145 today. And happy birthday, Michael Caine, who's 91. And the music that we heard earlier was called E equals MC squared. For Michael Caine, for Albert Einstein, and it featured clips of Michael Caine's voice, which I didn't realise until now. Okay, and on this day in 1995, it was the first time ever that 13 people would be in space simultaneously. And about 3 hours ago, SpaceX just launched its massive rocket. That was a third time lucky. 2 years ago, Dolly Parton removed herself from the ballot for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She said she didn't think she'd earned the right to be on the list. And coincidentally enough, this song... which is a Dolly Parton song, covered by Whitney Houston. 50 years old this week. I think this version's better, honestly. Never mind. This week, our guest, teacher, writer, thinker, I would even say philosopher. I'm looking at his face now to see if he agrees with me. Many, many things. Came a long way to be in Romania, and we'll find out just how far he came in a minute. Now we have Carlos Labate. Hello.
Hello, Steve.
How are you?
Good? I'm good.
Yeah, made it.
Happy to be here.
I'm pretty glad you came as well. So I'd be talking to myself. We're going to go through the story in the usual four sections. Nothing different this time. So I'm going to start with my usual first question, which is, Carlos Labate, who do you think you are?
Oh. Wow, I didn't expect that question.
This one always catches them out.
I am a person in search of meaning.
What a great answer. That is a very good answer. Okay. You've been in Romania for how long now?
More than 10 years.
More than 10, okay. So you know your way around a little bit.
I should know more than what I know, but...
There's plenty of time. We're going to go through your story in the usual sequence, and we start with the thing that we call the throwback.
Expat life.
Throwback. Tell me about your childhood.
As the man said, Carlos Labate, tell me about your childhood. Where were you born? You don't have to tell me when.
It's fine. I was born in 1965 in Buenos Aires.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, okay. Now, Buenos Aires in 65. Was it huge even then?
I didn't know it was huge because I didn't have anything to compare it to.
That's fair enough, yes.
But yes, it was huge. And but I went back there about 4 years ago, and I remembered it. I didn't know it was so big.
Right, because often I notice this, that you go back to the place of your childhood and everything seems small because you're bigger, but not in Buenos Aires because it's growing faster than you are.
It's growing enormously.
What is the population now, do you know?
No, I don't. Anyway,
it's lots.
It's lots.
Probably more than Romania.
Oh, definitely.
Wow. Easily get lost in there. So I'm guessing I would ask if you were born sort of in the center of it, on the edge of it. Were you a city boy or a country boy? I'm guessing everything's in the center in a place as big as Buenos Aires.
Yes, I was really very much in the center of the city.
Mm-hmm. And so all noise and life and concrete and football.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And ice cream.
And ice cream. Okay, come on to the ice cream. That's an interesting one. Yeah. And were you a big family? Did you have to fight for attention, or were you kind of the golden child?
I guess I was more of the golden child. I was the firstborn.
Aha.
And we are two, me and my brother, but he was younger. So yes, I guess I got a bit more of the attention. My mother tells me that when my brother got his first birthday, he got a gift. And of course, I don't remember, but she told me that I went to his gift and I stepped on it.
Oh,
I broke it completely.
Oh, jealousy right there.
she reminds me that once in a while.
Ah, okay, it's like when she needs to make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
Right, don't get too... Yeah. Mm-hmm. But has your brother forgiven you for it?
I don't think he remembers.
Oh, good.
But I'm sure that he has many other accounts towards me.
And so what were your parents doing?
Well, when I was born, different, but later on, my father became a lawyer.
Right.
And my mother was teaching gym to older people.
Oh, okay. So, gentle pace.
Yes, she was taking care of older people.
Right.
That was a very interesting thing that she did.
Mm-hmm.
I went with her several times, and I did also that to help her.
Right.
So I had a nice contact with older people, with ancient people, with and it kind of gave me a nice perspective of what may come.
Well, yeah, it's a good point because, you know, once you've been around, you know what you think, you know who you are, you know how things work, and the children, of course, don't think that.
Absolutely.
Oh, kids know everything. Yeah, right. Wait till you're my age, then you'll know how little you know. This is how that works. School, did you enjoy it? I mean, were you good at it? Was it something that you just figured is a necessary thing?
I did a necessary thing. No, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like the way that I was taught. It was everything too much for the... I didn't feel there was much love, although I didn't realize that in the moment. But I did have something like a feeling that the teachers were not so much doing it for love, but they were more doing it as a job.
I guess they were doing it for the salary, right?
I guess, yes. So no, I didn't enjoy much school time. I enjoy my friends, I enjoy being young.
Was there any particular subject you thought you might be better at, or did you just kind of reject them all?
For a long time, I didn't know what I wanted. No, right. I was not good at anything in particular. I always like people. I like to be connected to people. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what I wanted, no.
And that all will make sense when we discover further in the story what you do now and what you've been doing in the movie. This connection to stealing, to people thing, it all makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I guess.
What were you dreaming of? Were you thinking, like, you know, when most teenagers think, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a train driver, an astronaut, what?
Well, I think I had two things. I wanted to be a doctor to help people, to save people.
And this comes from the experience you had with your mom helping the old people,
I guess,
probably.
But yes. Also, when I was a teenager, I liked very much to watch movies, and I like heroes. So I wanted to be kind of a hero. I wanted to be a policeman hero, somebody that
right.
likes to help people and does the difficult thing to go against the majority to help the few, something like that. I wanted to.
But not all heroes wear capes, basically. Some of them wear hospital coats as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or policemen's uniforms.
Yeah. It's true.
And I've never been, I've honestly never been to Buenos Aires or that part of the world. If I'm going to go there, what's the first thing I should look for?
Well, I guess now most people go there because of tango.
Right.
And definitely you should look for tango. There is these wonderful cafes, all tradition cafes where everybody dances mm-hmm. with all ages. And that's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which I always think is the best in Buenos Aires, is to eat ice cream.
Oh, okay. Ice cream and tango, but not at the same time. Necessarily.
Not necessarily, yes.
It could get a little bit messy.
I mean, many people will say go to eat meat.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The beef.
The beef.
Nothing better, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But also we include the empanadas.
Okay. So I'm going to basically spend all my time dancing and eating, right?
Yes. That's a good thing to do in Buenos Aires.
Things could be a lot worse, right? In fact, you do the dancing, I'll do the eating.
But actually, I don't know how to dance tango.
No, me neither.
Because when I was a teenager, tango was not what is now.
Ah.
And my mother wanted to teach me tango, but I said, come on, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to where old people, what old people do.
Yeah.
But then a few years later, after I left Buenos Aires, tango became an international best dance and... Yeah. But I missed it. I was a bit too young.
And it becomes, it's very energetic and it can be very sensual. And
it's wonderful.
And it works with modern music and as well. It's a versatile dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Like I'm talking like I'm an expert on dancing. I don't know anything. talking of dancing, let's put some music on. You picked some very nice pieces of music and we're going to start with the Netherlands Bach Society. Tell me about this. Why did you choose it?
It's a music I love very much, and it was one of the first pieces of music. When I was a kid, I didn't know anything about classical music, but then one day, by luck, good luck, I found this music, and I realized how deep life can go. And this was one of the first pieces that it got into my heart.
Right, let's play it. It was quite a long piece. We won't have time for it all, but I clipped a bit from the end where it gets quite lively. Listen up.
Thank you.
you listen to the online version of this show later, you'll hear more of that.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life, with Carlos Labate. Now, through school, you didn't really know what you wanted to do. You'd already admitted to us that you didn't really like school, and then you went on to study to be a teacher. What was that about? What were you thinking?
I don't exactly remember how it went, but I always liked kids. And I guess it was one way for me to offer something back to life.
Okay.
Also, it happened that when I was quite young, 17, 18, I was kind of in the search of some meaning in life. And somehow I had a friend, I don't remember exactly how it started, but I went to help. In Argentina, we have many kids that live on the street.
Right, yeah.
They are from the countryside, and then the families are completely messed up. I don't know, alcohol or prostitutes or the parents. And so the kids leave the house and they take the train and they arrive in the stations in Buenos Aires. In Buenos Aires, there are four main stations.
Right.
And they arrive to the station and they live there in the stations. And I used to go to the stations and be with them, try to help them.
Right.
They would go into drugs, so I would try to help them to stay out of drugs. And so I was dealing with a lot of kids, and I felt it was a good thing if I could learn something, how to help kids.
Were you doing this as part of an organization, or was it just you as yourself of your own free will?
It was me and myself, and then after a couple of years, an organization approached me and they said if I can join them, and I did, but then the organization, it was not what I wanted. It was too much bureaucracy and too much rules that had nothing to do with the kids, but with the company. So then I left and I went back to, I made some friends, and so we will go with friends, but on our own, really on our own.
Not as part of an NGO or anything like that.
Exactly.
No. Okay, nice, good. And then when I asked you earlier, I said, what did you do when you found yourself qualified and free? You said, you left Argentina. Boom, just like that.
No, it just happened that I'd been there in Argentina for a while and I wanted more. I was in the search, in the search of meaning, the search of truth, the search of reality. I didn't know how to put it. Another word that many people don't like, but when I was young, although I never had a religious family, not at all, my parents are not religious at all, I had a kind of a sense of a search for God.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't imagine it as a being up in the sky because I didn't have that upbringing. But I did feel that there was something more to life than just the regular get married, get kids, get a good job. And I felt there was more.
And there's a logic to it. I subscribed to a magazine called New Scientist. And they have these sometimes very teasing front pages with the headlines. And one time it said, on the front page, it just said, there is a God-shaped hole inside our brains. So, hang on a minute. So you have to read it, right? What's that about? And the idea was that the study said, we as humans are curious and we hate not knowing something. And there are certain questions that we can't answer. So there's a vacuum inside our brain where this knowledge doesn't exist. So we invent something to fill it. And it's God.
And I will say, you said there is a knowledge vacuum. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, what I see is that there is a feeling vacuum.
Ah, even better.
There is a sense of emptiness in our heart that needs to be filled.
Yes.
And how do we fill it?
How do we feel?
And that's the question. How do we feel it? And most people feel it with, I don't know, with doing things in life, entertainment, making more money, having more kids, moving around, buying better houses, which is very wonderful. But the hole that is in the heart, it will not be filled with that. That's a problem.
So you tried to find the answer in California?
That was one way. That was where I started. Yes.
And so how did you get to California? Of all the places in the world, what was it about California? Was it just a chance?
Or? It was kind of a chance. I had some friends that went there, and I didn't speak much English, but it sounded good. Mm-hmm. It sounded cool. And I had friends, and California was the heart of the 60s. Mm-hmm. I like Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And nothing to do with it, but I like the idea of the hippie movement, and California was the heart of that. And when my friends were there, I said, why not? And my parents were very open. They were not against me trying to find the meaning, and so they support me. They were not very happy that I was leaving, but they support me, and so I went. Mm-hmm. I went for a year with the idea to stay there for a year and come back, and I stayed almost for 20.
Wow, okay. So you liked it then?
I liked it very much.
Yeah?
But I didn't just stay in California. I moved around the world pretty much. I was staying there for a while, making some money, and then moving around.
Right.
And
so what were you doing? How were you making your money? Okay, you studied teaching. You clearly like to teach people and help people. So how did you make your... What was your career, let's say? You wrote that I asked if you involved how you evolved your business, and you said I didn't. Very honest. So what did you do?
Well, I didn't have a business. I didn't know how to make money. I still don't know how to do that very well. And that's a problem, but that's another story.
I know how you feel.
But I move around, and then I start to live in a community. So I lived in a community there in California. And in that community, I did many different jobs. I was a teacher for kids, but also I was working in a vineyard. Then for a few years, I took care. I was a kind of a nurse, not really, but helping people that were dying.
Okay.
And so I spent a few years helping dying people. That was a wonderful, amazing, painful, but beautiful experience.
I imagine painful, yeah.
Very painful and also very beautiful. Luckily, the people that were dying, they were very beautiful people. And so they took death in a very... I don't know how to say it. They were not so afraid, but they were more like open to it. And so it was wonderful to be close to the people that were dying in a more...
accepting it and just preparing themselves for it rather than trying to resist it. That's the first time I've ever heard a sentence beginning with the words lucky people, lucky for the people that were dying. But I see what you mean. If you're accepting it and everyone's got to go eventually, right?
That's the point. That's the point. That it's going to come to everybody. So it's not that if you will die or not, it's how you will approach death.
Yeah. Right. You see. Yes.
And so, and I was very lucky that those people were very, I don't know, kind of more ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they lived a good life, so they were okay to live a good death.
Right.
And so it was, for me, I learned enormously. Actually, when I took care of a very good friend of mine, that he had a lung cancer. It was a very painful death because he was suffering a lot. But he was also very... very mature, one way to say it. And after he passed, he took his last breath. I was right there. And then I left the house. I went to walk. I was living in the countryside. And I had one of these more powerful epiphanies in my life. I was walking for the countryside, and I met a cow. And I mean, it sounds strange, but it was beautiful. It was like the cow was my brother, my sister.
Right.
I started to talk to the cow. I felt the cow was talking to me. I mean, I know it sounds weird, and it was just a very loving experience. Something very, very earthly, but also very much out of the earth.
Right. I wonder, just thinking, this cow and I are now thinking on the same wavelength, you know?
No, it was more like a connection to life, a connection to beauty, a connection to love.
Whoa.
It was something very special. And it was right after Peter, his name was Peter, after Peter passed.
Right.
I don't know.
The feelings you're describing to me, and it sounds right that you'd feel those things in California. It just kind of fits, you know, to what we expect from California. You said they stayed there 20 years. I'm going to move the story on a bit because the time is going by. Look at this. But so after 20 years, you then went where? You went back to Argentina? You ended up in Europe, but was it straight from...
No, well, I didn't want to leave America, but I had to. I couldn't get my permit at a certain point, and so I had to leave the country, and I went back to Argentina, but I decided on the way to Argentina, I will first do a long trip through Europe and Eastern Europe. And it just happened when I was in... Yeah, I passed through Istanbul my first time, and I met what she will be my wife.
just like that? Yeah, across a crowded
Absolutely. It was across a crowded pub.
Yeah? and was it kind of instantly your eyes met and it was... straight away?
For me, it was. Yeah. She told me it was not for her, but I think it was. But... I saw her, I thought I was struck by how beautiful she was. And I tried to talk to her, but she completely ignored me.
Oh, no.
But then she told me later that she ignored me because she felt something that she didn't want to deal with, and so she tried. Anyway.
Oh, right. She was afraid of her own emotions
Exactly.
Wow.
But it was a very Hollywood-style story.
Quite
beautiful.
It is too, yeah. And because the time is ticking, we're going to play your second piece of music now. Marianne Anderson, tell me about this.
I don't know if it was the right choice for here, but to me it's one of the most beautiful pieces of music I ever heard in my life. It's something so profoundly... It just touches... It brings you out of this world.
Just listen to how it starts. It takes you to another place. Instantly, listen up. Almost ashamed to say that this is the first time I've listened to this properly on good headphones, and I've got goosebumps.
People used to cry listening to her in her time.
I can imagine. Wow, yeah. If you listen to the podcast version, you'll hear more of this, but you know what's coming now, don't you?
Por
poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferite de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Și pare că suferi. Eu mă sfârșeam cu un etaj sub tine și n-ai dat mesaj să mă întrebi ce mai fac. Mi-ai dat mesaj să-mi spui tot de tine. Pare că e ușor tot pentru tine. Aș fi vrut și eu să pot să fiu tare, dar doare mai mult decât vreau. Eu să doare și am zis că nu scriu, dar o mai fac o dată. Primăvara nu începe cu tine. Acum urăsc piesa aia fără motive, doar pentru că îmi amintește de tine. Îmi amintesc mult prea multe de tine. Și-ți văd modelul mașinii în trafic și trebuie să arcă mă gândesc că ești aici. Mai ales acurând, n-am cicatrici și urăsc coborul și bere și mici. Dar că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Dar că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Totul e gata, că totul e bag. Bucureștiu-mi eu la tine, că de la Unirii luai metrou spre muncă. Eu îmi fac doar arta cum făceam și atunci. Și încă nu știu dacă se șec sau bun. Acum nu mă ține nimeni și cred că nu e bine să fii prea bine. Mi-e frică că nu o să mai vreau niciodată să plec de aici, să merg în Berlin. E soare afară și eu stau în casă. Parcă e mai trist când e soare afară. Dacă o să plouă, să am motive să stau toată ziua în pat, să mă uit la filme. Am văzut doar că m-am gândit la tine. E un clișeu, n-o să zic câte zile. Mai scriu un mail, o să-l recitesc. Că te urăsc, încă te iubesc. Dar că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Dar că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Totul e gata, că totul e bag. Dar că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferite de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Exotic.
Exotic.
Welcome back, Expat Life, with Carlos Labate. Chaotic, quixotic, exotic, supposed to describe Romania. Or the guest. It's up to you. You can take your pick on that one. Your story is you met the ultimate love of your life in Istanbul, you said, and it was one of those moments, right? But you were on your way back to Argentina.
Yes.
So did you cancel those plans?
No. I went to Argentina.
Right.
And a few months later, Alina met me there. She came. We stayed there for a couple of years, but then she wanted to come back. And I didn't have major plans for my life, and other than her. And so I came with her.
Right. Okay. So you came here thinking... I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to come to Romania and see what happens.
Was yes, like that? Basically, very close. Really, truly very close, yes.
Right. Yeah. So, but obviously something did happen. You do, you became a teacher of, well, you tell me what you teach.
I teach presence, mindfulness, yoga, meditation. I do have my yoga classes. That's mostly what I do now.
Right. And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I started to do yoga when I was very young.
Right.
I think 17. But I went on and off for many years. And then after I came to Bucharest, that was the main thing that I started to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And which year was this? When was it?
You know, I'm not good at years. I don't know.
About how many years? I'm thinking, was it pre-pandemic, post-pandemic?
No. I started much before.
Oh, okay. Much of course, before. 10 years, you said. You were
doing Yes.
Okay, so...
At least 10 years. I think I'm here for most like 12, 14.
Oh, okay. So you came and you went straight into this. You thought, this is what I'm going to do here. I'm going to teach this stuff.
No, it was not really like that. I wasn't sure really what I was going to do.
Okay.
I had my experience of yoga, but also when I came here, yoga was not very well seen. It was still a bit of a weird stuff. And so actually when I started, instead of calling it yoga, because I also knew Pilates. I love the Pilates exercise, so I call it Yogi Lates.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
But that was because I didn't want it to. People told me that yoga was too much for people, so I call it Yogi Lates. But then after a few years, it was not really the direction I wanted. I wanted something less physical and more philosophical, spiritual, mental. And so I went for what I call now yoga of presence.
Right. Which is more, it's not about just what you do, it's about how you feel and how you think about it and the whole approach to it, I guess.
It's a whole change in approach, which not everybody appreciated.
Right.
Yogi Lattes was more popular. Yoga of presence is more of a niche. It's more of, not for everybody, but there are many people that's what they need.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Even if they don't know it yet.
Even if they don't know it yet, all you got to do is stop and ask yourself the question, and you realize, maybe that is the answer. But you also write books.
Yes.
When did you write? Now, you've just given me kindly this one called About Presence, which was your first one?
Yes, that was my first
which
book.
Which was released when?
I think 2017.
Okay. And I'm looking forward to reading that one. And your second one is about to be released, right?
I hope in about a month, maximum 2 months.
And it's going to be called, the first one is called About Presence, and the second one is going to be called?
Pause for a moment,
right. Reflections on Body, Mind and Soul is the subtitle. Yeah. Should I read a bit? The first
if
bit
want,
from the
please.
New book.
Sure.
Just out of curiosity, just like that. Okay. It goes like this. There is only the now. Even when we are lost in our thoughts, they appear only in the present moment. The past and the future are only thoughts. Whether they are memories, projections, plans, expectations, they don't really exist. They're just thoughts, ideas. Yeah? So when I speak of becoming more present, I mean redirecting our attention to the actual experience of the present moment rather than getting lost in many thoughts. Push the thoughts away and just think, where am I now? How do I feel? Try it for a minute. Was it see what you see, hear what you hear, touch what you touch, feel what you feel. Stop thinking. Just be.
More than stop thinking, it's just start to realize that this moment is very, very important. It's not that you want to reject everything else. It's just that you start to notice, you start to realize how fundamental, how essential this moment is.
I've just thought about it like this, only now this thought came into my head. This is the only moment we're experiencing right now.
But
it's the only one. There is nothing else.
I mean, what you just said, if one could really understand that deeply, it will completely transform your life.
Wow.
I mean, one thing is to say it, and it sounds good, and it sounds cool, but if we could really understand that we can only ever experience this moment and nothing else ever, if one could really understand, and it's not so easy to really put it in the heart. It's easy to mentally say it, but if we could, it will transform our lives, because then one will make effort, one will want to pay attention to this moment. It will not be just like a cliché.
Yeah.
Now it kind of is famous, be present or be in the now. But it's not a cliché, it's a felt reality.
It is.
Exactly. Beautiful, Steve. Yes,
it's the only is that there is, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay, yeah. So this new book is coming out in a month or so, and as soon as it's released, let me know. So I'll give it a plug here, a promotion, and we'll talk about it.
Thank you.
The previous one is still available.
Yes,
About Presence.
It is available
all good bookstores,
but it's available in Romanian. The translator in Romanian. It's also available in English, but only I have it.
Okay.
So it's available only through me.
Right.
But the Romanian is still available in all bookstores. Yes.
Okay. In all good bookstores. Now, the teaching that you do of the yoga and of the mindfulness and of the meditation, this is one-to-one or in-person training. Do you train groups or do you train individual people? How do you go about that?
I do mostly groups, but I do also retreats. But also, if people ask me, I do some one-to-one. Mm-hmm. It's not my main medium, but I do sometimes, and I do groups and retreats.
Right. And if someone's interested, not if, because people are interested,
some people may.
How do we find you? How do we find you if we want to take part in this stuff?
It's very easy, through yogaofpresence.com.
Yogaofpresence.com. Search it, Google it, stick it up your browser and see what you get. Very, very nice. Time is flying by, and it's time again. Another piece of music. This one, Wilhelm Furtwängler. Tell me more. I don't know if I said that right, but tell me, what about this one?
It's just a jolly
piece of music.
I think it's very, very often we forget to come back to the simplicity and the beauty of life. And I think what Mozart did with the Magic Flute is my favorite opera. I think it's just a beautiful piece of art that reminds us of the simplicity of existing in a beautiful planet, in a beautiful life. And it's just pure joy.
it is that. Listen up.
Eine männliche Gestalt in diesem Tale. Will mich verwehren.
Only on Radio Guerrilla will you get such a marvelously diverse selection of music.
Expat life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back. Next chapter. Last chapter. Last part of the show. We've got about a minute now. Two and a half minutes maximum to talk about the future. Are you the sort who makes plans for the future, or until now the story has kind of been just going there to see what happens? Do you have a big idea in mind?
No, I don't have. I'm not so good about planning. When you send me these questions, and you made me think a bit. Like you asked me what do you want for the future, and I didn't know what to say. And the only thing that came into my heart was that I would like, I don't know how, I'm not so good at doing these things, but I would like to spread a bit more these ideas of presence, of being more connected to yourself, to your life, to life itself. So I guess if I do have a plan, it will be to be able, I guess, to be able to spread more, to let people know that it's possible to be more at peace with oneself.
It comes, the message I'm getting, the overall sort of idea that's coming through to me is teaching people. Again, you're teaching people or educating or somehow.
Yeah, not so much teaching, but maybe more like letting them know that there is a possibility to be more at peace. Mm-hmm. That there is more like, more than teaching will be like letting people know mm-hmm. that there is a possibility not to be so stressed, not to be so anxious, and that it's possible and that it's available and it's very much at hand to be able to be more at peace with oneself, more connected to life itself.
Right, yeah. Okay, that's a nice idea upon which to wrap it up. Not only that we're out of time.
Things went fast.
Yeah, things flew by. So thank you for that. That was nicely told, and I like the ideas. Buy the books. About Presence is already available. The next one will come out when it's in a month or two. We will mention it when it's out.
Thank you.
Yogaofpresence.com.
Thank you.
Find it. You're going to love it. We have to go. Thank you very much. Carlos Labate. Nice story. Beautifully told. And we really do have to go now. Thank you very much. We're going to go out with this one. Everybody knows this. It needs no introduction at all. That huge guy, yeah. No longer with us, unfortunately. But this is a brilliant version of Over the Rainbow. Excellent. This has been Expat Life. Thank you very much. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you all.
See you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Why can't I? Ooh. Young minds, fresh ideas. Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
Earmuffs, please!
Good night, everybody!
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.